Jesus, what about this? Or how can this be? Jesus often would ask other people, people like you and me, questions. And those questions were meant to invite us into a discovery of truth for ourselves with Jesus along for the ride. So if you've missed any of the previous weeks in this series, you can go to our website and find the messages there. We always share those links out on our Facebook page as well. And if you'd like to dig deeper into the content of the message or scripture for the week, you can pick up our weekly field guide. It's a little devotional resource. You can find a few print copies out in the lobby, but we always have it available on smart devices on the YOU version Bible app. And we're under events, and you'll see us there all week long. It'll say Quest Church. So hopefully that's a helpful resource to you. You know, this past week, I had one of those moments in life where I go, is that for real? Can that be true? And you see, what happened was one of my best friends from high school, we grew up doing stuff together. We used to get together and play obnoxiously long hours of James Bond GoldenEye on the N64. Any players out there? Yes! I was stupid back then, and I dragged along my then-girlfriend, a future wife, be like, you know what would be cool is, like, if we could do both things, you come and watch us play video games. And I'm 38, and to this day, I get reminded about that. But anyway, my friend adds me to this group on Facebook for my 20th high school reunion. And I went, no, 20 years. Now, I know a few of you out there are going, 20? after first service, somebody said, I'm up to what would be my 69th year after graduating high school. And I thought, yeah, you've got me beat. But it was still kind of those, wow. And you know what came back was like all of the, like suddenly like I'm all the feelings are rushing back like I'm in high school. All of the awkwardness, all of the anxiety, and I'm like, I don't know that I want to see all these people again. I don't know if they really want to see me, to be quite honest. I thought back to what the experience of high school was like, and all of the times where I was just talking to somebody just entering high school, ignore everything I'm about to say for the next 60 seconds. I thought about all of the energy, all of the emotion that went into like trying to figure out who you are, where do you fit, and just always asking that question, am I normal? And like, where am I normal at? Because like with those people over there, I don't seem to be normal. I seem to be normal over here, and just trying to not be weird. Now, sometimes in high school, when you're a teenager, you go, I want to be weird, but you want to be weird with the other weird people. No, very, very few people want to be like the weird, alone person. You want to have the group of weird people where you're normal together. Like all of those feelings, all those anxieties come rushing back. And I thought, you know, we probably, a lot of us can relate to this. And then probably even in our life now, we try to find those places where we fit. Where are we? We're normal. And you know, this morning as we go into another question that Jesus asked, I want to suggest to you that the question that Jesus poses here seeks to both identify that desire we have to be normal, but also to denormalize it. The question is going to seek to upset what we think is normal and invite us into something, well, that's not normal, okay? So we're going to get to this question that Jesus asked, and we're going to read this now in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. If you need a Bible, we have them there in the seating area, and you're welcome to take it home if you don't have one. It's on page 660, and we'll also have it up on the screen as I read it here. Four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the first one in your New Testament, and this is right in the middle of what we have called for a long, long time the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So Matthew 5, beginning with verse 43. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God, we ask that you would bring to life these words to give life to us today. We ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through this short passage in five segments for those of you who are the note-taking type. And we're going to get to the question Jesus asked kind of towards the end of that, because as you noticed in the reading, it's toward the end that he begins to start asking things with question marks attached to it. The first segment begins here in verse 43. And here I want to suggest what Jesus is doing is identifying what is normal. Listen to how he does it here in verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said. You've heard that it was said. And then what he adds to that is, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. So what he's doing is saying, this is what you all have been told is normal. This is your normal. You've been told your normal is love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Now, this passage comes at the end, the culmination of Jesus kind of doing this several times in Matthew 5. You've heard it said, but I'm telling you. And oftentimes what he is referring to when he describes their normal is he's saying, you've heard it said, it was in your Bible. Somebody told you it was in your Bible. God said this. And here, if somebody were to believe that, they would be half right. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you read Leviticus 19, it does not go on to say, hate your enemy. What the part was where they've heard it said was some of their popular Bible teachers were trying to flesh out for them their what God had said in the past, much like we're doing right now. And so what they had filled in for them was, well, if God wants us to love our neighbors and we know who that is, then God must also want us to hate our enemy. And Jesus says, that's your normal. That's what everybody's told you is normal. And we're going to see Jesus is going to challenge that. But before we do that, think about what shapes normal for you. What defines your normal? Where are the sources that shape your perception of what is right and normal for the world? Sometimes I've thought about this when I've been crafting a message that I'm going to deliver to a bride and groom at their wedding, and I go, let's think about where are all of the places where we get ideas about relationships, friendships, and romantic relationships, and what love is. And you know, we pick this up from TV shows, we pick it up from movies we like, from books we read, but we also pick it up from the family that we were raised in, what part of the world we grew up in, even what language we speak, how much money there was to spend in our family growing up. All of these things shape what is normal for us. This past week, I was reading an article about people who thought that something they experienced growing up was normal, and then as they grew up, discovered it was not. For example, one person said that, growing up, I would eat bananas, and I liked the flavor of bananas, but one of the things I did not like about eating bananas was the way they made my mouth tingle. And it wasn't until I had grown up and I told somebody, they said, do you want a banana? You know, like, I don't mind bananas, but I don't like it when they make your mouth tingle. And they said, what? They said, what, that doesn't happen for you? Like, no. And that's how I learned I was allergic to bananas. Or you know how oftentimes, like, you know, in your family growing up, like, you come up with unique words for things that only your family would make sense. And for me, I talk for the dog in my family. It's weird. I have conversations with the dog, and I give the dog a voice. But I don't do that when other people come around. But we have words, you know, that we identify things with. It's unique to us. One person said, in my family growing up, the TV remote, my parents told me that's called a gonculator. And it wasn't until I went off to college, I asked one of my roommates, hey, where's the gonculator for the TV? And they said, what? And he said, you know, the gonculator, the thing you change the channel. They're like, that's a TV remote. So there are things that shape what we perceive to be normal that we learn. That's not normal for everybody else. And here in segment 2 of this passage, we see Jesus beginning to upend what we consider normal. Verse 44, because he said, you've heard this, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And what Jesus is essentially saying is, this is normal. Now, be weird. If that's normal, if it's normal to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, then you, if you're going to be my follower, you need to be weird. You need to be strange. You need to be different. You need to stand out. And, you know, some of us might say, you know, that's awesome. I love to be the different person. Some of you, maybe you have that contrarian streak. If somebody says, if everybody else says, hey, we got to order a cake, what'd we get? Oh, well, let's all get chocolate. You're going to be like, no, I want vanilla. But Jesus isn't talking about being contrary just for the sake of being contrary. Not saying be countercultural just because. In fact, that could actually prohibit you in certain times from being the person God has made you to be. But he is saying there are times in which you will need to be weird in contrast to the normal that the rest of human society has built. And in fact, the normal he identifies here, or excuse me, the thing that he says ought to make us weird is the way in which we love. Love your neighbors and love your enemies. And pray for those who mistreat you. And we could spend a lot of time just trying to unpack what does that look like to love somebody who is your enemy, whether they've made themselves your enemy or whether you have chosen to treat them as such. I like the way that New Testament scholar and pastor Scott McKnight unpacks this. He says, the love Jesus is talking about here is a kind of rugged commitment to be with someone as someone who is for them in order to foster Christ-likeness. Now, if I was smart and thought ahead, I'd put that on the screen, so I'm going to read that again for you. The rugged commitment to be with someone as someone who is for them in order to foster Christ-likeness. So it's not just doing whatever that person thinks they want or need. It's seeking their ultimate good, which we understand to be growing in relationship and oneness and likeness to Jesus Christ. Because some stuff that some people will want from you, you look and you go, that's not good for you. But Jesus says, that's how you're going to be weird, how you're going to be different. And you're going to go, that's hard. And Jesus can say, that's right. And so we need to wrestle with this question, who are the hardest people for me to love in that way? Who is it hard for me to be with and to be for in order to foster the life of Christ in them? Jesus tells us, part 3, verse 45, why you should be weird. He says, you need to be weird because, Guess what? God is weird. God is weird when you look at the normal that is built up in human life outside of God. Listen to how he describes it here. Verse 45, he says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And what does he do? He causes his sun to rise on evil and good, and rain, he sends that on the righteous and the unrighteous. Did you hear that? God is good to people who are good, and God is good to people who are not. I gotta admit to you, I find that a little weird. Because you know what? If I were in charge of the world, I probably wouldn't do it that way. I'd be like, oh, so you want to pick on your neighbors? I'm not sending you any rain for a while. Let's see if that fixes things. And you know, over the years, I've come to a belief, and maybe someday I'll reword it or find out it's wrong, but I've come to this belief that one of the things we stumble over sometimes, one of the things that maybe we find difficult, whether we're still exploring the Christian faith or whether we've been in it for a while and we're trying to know God better, is one of the things that frustrates us sometimes about God is God does not do what we would do if we were God. And that bothers me. Because I go, God, this is what I think's fair, and God goes, that's nice. But you're not God. Now, it does not mean that God does not discipline his children. It does not mean that God does not judge and even condemn evil. I mean, that's one of the things we hold to, is that even if that stuff doesn't get sorted out right now in life, that one day God will sort all that out. But this is the way God is. You be weird because God is weird. I'm going to paraphrase Pastor Tim Keller, who pastors churches in New York City, but he has said something along this lines. Basically, if your God, your picture of God, if your God never surprises you, never disagrees with you, never makes you angry, then your picture of God is defective. In fact, Keller would go so far as to say that that picture you've concocted of God is an idol, a false image of the true God. God is weird. And we need to wrestle with what are those times, those moments, those intersections of our faith life where God has surprised us and maybe even scandalized us. So Jesus has set all this up. He says, here's normal. You be weird because God's weird. And now he turns to start asking the questions to us. Listen again to what he says in verse 46 and 47. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? What are you going to get out of that? Now, you might think of a few things that you could get out of that, but it's not the thing Jesus is thinking of. He goes on to say, are not even the tax collectors doing that? Now, if you've read the Bible a little bit, you've read the Gospels, you've probably picked up on the fact that most people are not big fans of the tax collectors. And it's not just because they come and they take the money away from you. It's because they're collaborators. Remember, God, the hope, the dream, the God-given promise to God's people, the Jewish people, was God's given you this homeland so that you can be the missionary people to the rest of the world. And when they looked around, they were not even in charge of that small strip of land. They were occupied by a Roman Empire. And what the Romans did was they would find local people who were going to help them in the governance. And one of the things they needed was somebody to come and collect the taxes. And so then you've got some of your fellow Jewish community members who say, I'll do that. And what the Romans have told them is, hey, we need 5% of their income. We don't care if you take a few more percents off for you. Just make sure we get the 5. These are collaborators. They're cheaters. But Jesus says, look, even among those guys, don't you think, I mean, they're nice to each other. I mean, if you drop people down into an Al-Qaeda training camp, guess what? Al-Qaeda are nice to Al-Qaeda. Or if you use a different example, if you go and visit one of the national conventions for either of the two major political parties, if you go to the Republican National Convention and you say, I'm a Republican, guess what? Oh, we're so glad you are here. If you walk in and say, I was with her 2016, they're going to be like, why are you here at our convention? Or if you go to the Democratic National Convention and you're wearing a red hat that says, Make America Great Again, you're probably not going to be greeted with, welcome, we're so glad you're here. Jesus says, the point is, even among people you don't like, those people treat each other with kindness. They greet each other. He says, even the pagans, the people who don't share your worldview, who don't share your understanding of God, even those people, they show kindness to each other. And so Jesus says in verse 47, what are you doing more than others? Let me rephrase it another way. And here's the question I suggest he's asking. How are you any different? If you do exactly the same things that people who don't profess to follow in the footsteps of Christ, who've not centered their lives on him, how are you any different? What are you getting out of that? How are you any different than anybody else? And I think Jesus has put his finger on that thing that you know, when you're back in high school and you're a teenager, and that's when you really feel it. And some of us, we feel it still in different circumstances. It's that desire to fit in. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be rejected. Jesus says, listen, if you come and you follow me, you're going to be weird. You're going to be different. But if you try to do that and you just treat people who treat you with kindness, you only treat them kindly. How are you any different? See, Jesus has been talking about the very apex of what it means to be weird like God is weird. Here's what Jesus is getting at. Jesus challenges us to break with normal for God's weird. He's not saying break with normal just to be different, just to be argumentative, but break with normal to embrace God's weird. And that means to do that, I'm going to have to ask myself, when do I find it most difficult to break with normal for God's weird? And you know, frankly, let me put in a plug here for groups, because I think it's in groups that you often get to talk with other Christ followers who are wrestling with the same questions like that. And you can be honest over time as you develop relationships and say, you know, these are the moments where I find it difficult to break with normal in order to be weird in the way Jesus calls me to be weird. And you can pray for each other and be supportive of each other, because that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Last thing, Jesus wraps up here in verse 48. He's kind of taking two things and putting them together. He says, be weird like God. Again, be weird because God's weird. He says, be perfect like God is perfect. Now listen, lots of people have stumbled over this. Perfect, Jesus, yeah. I mean, have you seen my life? Have you seen my family? You've seen where I come from? Have you seen us get together at Thanksgiving? Perfect? But listen, the wisest minds among Christ followers over the centuries have looked at this and they've said, wait, Jesus has been talking about loving people in a really generous, overwhelming, indiscriminate way. And when we look at what Jesus says over in Luke chapter 6, where it sounds like much the same thing, where he says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful, we think what Jesus is really saying is he's talking about perfection in relation to love. He's talking about a love that is complete, a love that is whole. In other words, a love that is all-encompassing, like the kind of love that he has just said your heavenly Father has. So he's saying, be weird by having this all-encompassing, non-discriminatory love. Seek the goodwill of, be with, for the sake of all people. But don't try to live by human normal and God's normal at the same time, or you'll really be confused and lost. Don't try to mix those two things up. Because if you're normal by the normal Jesus has described, be kind to the people that are kind to you that you can get something out of, well, you're going to be weird in God's family, in God's kingdom. But if that's the place you want to be, if that's the reward you want, to be like your Father, to be with him now and always, to be like him, that becomes your new normal, then that becomes weird. But if you mush them up, it's a mess. You know, modern technology, though, lets us sometimes smash things together that we think ought not to be together. This past week, I was looking at some of those celebrity mashups, you know, where they take like an app and they smush together like two people's pictures. I thought I'd show you just a few of the more bizarre ones I've found. Yeah, let's take a look at that one. All right, this is Tom Hanks and George Clooney. Schwarzenegger and Stallone, all right. That's right, I had Tom Cruise and John Travolta. Now listen, the last one I mashed up with me, okay? There it is. If it doesn't look any different, what can I say? We just must be twins. But you know, seriously though, Jesus is saying, look, you can't be normal in both of those normals. You've got to be weird in one way or the other. And he's challenging us with this question, how are you different, to break with normal for God's weird? How are you different? Now listen, let me wrap this up, because I know that the thing that we really wrestle with as we wrestle with this question, how are you different, is that feeling, that fear of rejection. And I think what Jesus is getting at when he says, just be weird, embrace it, know you're going to be different, is he's reminding us that when you follow in his footsteps, rejection is bound to come. It's going to happen. Listen, later today, take 10 minutes, read through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. That's the whole Sermon on the Mount. And what you're going to see, I bet, is you'll see some places in there in this vision of life that Jesus paints, because that's what he's doing. He's painting a life. You'll see places in there that you go, you know, my culture, where I live and when I live, there are some things here that Jesus talks about that they go, yeah, that is great. We approve. Stamp that and send it off. There will be other things, though, that you read. You go, I don't know that my culture would be super supportive of that. In fact, they might find some of those things distasteful. And there will always be the case. There will always be the case that in any time, in any place in human culture, there will be places that overlap with God's way and places that don't. And the hardship comes, the fear comes, where we're rejected for embracing the places that make us weird in human normal. But you know, Jesus says that's a spiritually dangerous place to be in when we start to paint the things that God says are good as if they are not. But you know, listen, Jesus himself broke with normal for God's weird. And you know what? Looming over all of this is the shadow of his cross. Because you know, Jesus, in saying, I will not go along with everything, that human society has come up with to say is normal, because they have missed some places that are out of alignment with our Father in heaven. And because of that, he became an outcast. He suffered. He died. And friends, if you have been on the Christian walk for a while or you're considering it, you should know rejection comes with the territory. Jesus doesn't say, if you suffer, he says, when. When you're rejected because you're faithful to me, because you're faithful to my gospel, to my way. But Jesus says, there's a reward. You get to be with your heavenly Father. You get to be like your heavenly Father. You get to be his son, his daughter. And you're with him. He's with you now and forever. So this question, how are you any different? Forces us to ask, do I want this normal or God's? It's our choice. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to show us a new normal. We talk about that, we throw that phrase around, it's the new normal, life's changed, it's the new normal. We may joke around about being weird or think something or somebody's weird, or oftentimes just try to avoid being weird. But you remind us that that's really not something we can avoid if we choose to follow in your footsteps. So God, what we pray today is that you would help us to see our normal. Help us to see the things that shape what is normal for us, particularly the things that shape a normal out of alignment with your normal. And give us courage to be different, to be weird, like you are weird. And God, when the shadow of the cross looms over the path before us, and we can see, we can anticipate the difficulty, we can anticipate the hardship, even the suffering, because we've broken with normal for God's weird, come alongside us. Remind us we're not alone. We're never alone. We ask this in Jesus' strong name. Amen.
Would you stand together? There is nothing more weird than the gospel.